There was an officer in the Navy who had always dreamed of commanding a battleship. He finally achieved that dream and was given commission of the newest and the proudest ship in the fleet. One stormy night as the ship plowed through the seas, the captain was on duty on the bridge. When off the port side, he spotted a strange light that was rapidly closing in on his vessel. Immediately, he ordered the signalman to flash the message to the unidentified craft. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. After a moment, a reply came. Alter your course 10 degrees to the north. Determined that his ship would not take back seat to another, the captain ordered another message to go out. Alter course 10 degrees, I am the captain. The response beamed back. Alter your course 10 degrees. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. And, you know, it's a Jones. You better listen to a Jones. Just telling you. Now this captain was infuriated. And he grabbed that signal light himself. And he fired off the message, alter course. I am a battleship. The reply came back, alter your course. I am a lighthouse. You see, no matter how big or important any of us might think that we are, God's word stands forth as unchanging. It is the unchanging beacon. All other courses must be altered to His. This morning, we're going to talk about the courses of our lives and which plans we are going to follow. Whose signal will we heed? You've probably heard the saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Right? And there's a lot of truth in that. But I believe it's also true, and I know it is true, that if you leave God out of your plans, you're going to still fail. This is a message that the Apostle James has us in this morning. As we continue our series, Living the Evident Life, it's our study through the book of James. And we're in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Let's go to the text. God's word tells us, now listen. Listen, my children. You who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, he sins. Now look, God has an amazing plan for our lives, because we're His children. He created us, and He has an incredible plan for our lives. He's chartered out an incredible journey filled with excitement, filled with adventure, with wonder, with joy, with love, and with purpose for every one of us. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God has some amazing plans for your life. But too often we forget this truth. And self-sufficiency creeps in. And we grab the reins. We take control. And before we know it, we're off course. And we're far from what God had intended for us. So as we are discussing the plans for our lives, we must be aware of the dangers of self-sufficiency. And that's really where we're going to spend most of our time this morning, because that's what James is making us aware of. He's got that signal light out, and he's saying, danger, danger, danger. God's Word is saying, danger, 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 self-sufficiency. There are dangers in self-sufficiency. So let's look at five dangers that the Apostle James has for us. The first danger, danger number one, self-sufficiency is planning without God. Again, self-sufficiency is planning without God. Verse 13 tells us that. Now listen, the Apostle James writes, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to go to this city or that city, we're going to spend a year there, carry on some business, and we're going to make some money. That's what we're planning to do. That's how we're going to handle things. That's what's going to happen for the next year. We got it figured out. It's so easy to fall into this trap of just plowing through life without God. Life is busy. Things need to get done. A whole lot is happening. There's no time to waste. And after all, I can handle it. I can get it done. I can take care of that. I don't need anyone's help. And so we make our own plans, and then after we make our own plans, we strive to make our own way. And we get sucked into this place of self-sufficiency, of doing it on our own. Our culture breeds this, doesn't it? I mean, our culture screams, self-sufficiency. You can do it. Be your own man. Be your own woman. Make your own future. It's in your hands. It gets so bad that it has us men driving around lost just because we won't ask for directions. Because, hey, we're supposed to be self-sufficient. I'm not going to ask that person, you know, how to get to my destination. Self-sufficiency. It'll put us in a mess, man. I used to live this way. I mean, I made all my own plans. And they didn't seem like bad plans either. You know, I had graduated from college. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have a great career. And I'm going to figure out how I'm going to make a lot of money and how I'm going to be successful in this career. And I mean, I'd map it out, and I would even sit there in my bed at night. My wife was trying to sleep, and I had the light on. I had my financial calculator out, and I was, okay, here's what I do. If I do this, if I make this move, if I change this, you know, boom, boom, boom. I was planning it out, man. And I was working my plan. I had planned that I'm going to marry a beautiful woman. And I'm going to have perfect children. And oh yeah, I'm going to be a Christian guy too, because I was raised that way. So I'm going to do stuff in the church also, because I got to round it all out. I got to look good. I got to have that whole package. It's all boom, boom, boom with a little bow on top. You know, Charming Charlie's, you know, add a little bit of bling and all that kind of stuff, right? By the world standards, I was finding success. My career was going great. Doing well. I wasn't a millionaire like I wanted to be yet. But, you know, I mean, things were cruising along. I definitely married the beautiful woman. I mean, come on. Right there. I married the beautiful woman. I've got awesome children. They're not perfect, but neither am I, and none of us are. But they're awesome children. I love them. They love God. There's evidence of His grace on their lives. It's a blessing. Okay, so things were going good. And I was volunteering at the church, and I was doing things at the church. Everything seemed perfect, but I was off course. If you looked in from the outside, it looked like this guy's got it all figured out. Well, I thought I did, but I didn't. I was off course. You see, I had missed the true calling of my life. I'd gotten into my own plans, and I'd missed the plans of God for my life, and so I was settling for second best. I'm not talking about my wife or my kids now. I'm just talking about my plans. I mean, they're awesome. God has grace on us. Even when we go take the reins and we try to do things our own way, God has grace on us. I mean, so I believe that's a word even right now from the Lord. He's just saying that, you know what? All of us have made mistakes and taken the reins in the past and done things our own way. God has grace for you. Okay? And He turns things around, and He makes all things work out for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So if you've taken the reins in the past, if you've done it your own way, and you've called the shots on your own, God's going to turn it around as we fix our eyes on Him. Amen? Amen. Amen. But I missed God's calling on my life. I had delusions that everything was okay, but I was off course. I wasn't doing what He had truly created me to do. He created me to be a minister, to be a pastor, to preach the Word, to disciple people, to live for Him and for others, not for myself. And I was living for myself, and I was missing the real blessing, the joy, the peace, the knowing that I was right there with God, walking with Him. Every time we make plans without asking God for guidance, we're asking for trouble. Every time we make plans without asking God for guidance, we're asking for trouble. I'm reminded of Joshua. Joshua was used by God in amazing ways. I mean, he brought the people of Israel out of the desert into the promised land and finding all kinds of success. The anointing of the Lord was all over him. I mean, it was just like boom, 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 everywhere he went, victory, victory, victory. But there was this one thing that happened. They got a little lazy and they started to just do things without inquiring of the Lord. And there were some neighbors that they were supposed to take that land. But the neighbors tricked Joshua and the leaders of Israel. And they came to them and they said, hey, we're really from far off and we want to make peace with you and we want to be nice together and all of this. And Joshua and the other leaders, they just made a decision without inquiring of the Lord, and it was the wrong decision. And they made peace with somebody that God had told them that they were supposed to remove from that area. And they got into that trouble because they all of a sudden found themselves taking control and making the plans, and they weren't inquiring of the Lord. And so every time we make plans without asking God for guidance, we're asking for trouble. And every time we attempt to do something without first bathing it in prayer, without first seeking the Lord, getting others involved even in the process of praying with us, going to God, we're flirting with disaster. And every time we do it our way, we're cheating ourselves out of what God has for us. That's what I was doing for all those years of my life when I was making my own plans and chasing after my own plans. Oh, I was experiencing some good things. At least the world would think it was good. But I was cheating myself out of what God really had for me. I mean, maybe your life is looking pretty good right now. Maybe it seems like it's working out for you right now. Everything appears to be okay. But I just want to tell you, if you're living your own plans, you're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself out of what God really has for you. What you're doing is you're settling for less than. If you're living your own plan, you're settling for less than. And you don't have to settle for less than. God has more for you. He has more for you. If your plan is to go, you know, hit the top of your career, be a mover and a shaker in your field, and it's something that you know in your heart, and you know in your mind if it's your plan or not. You know it. More than likely, if it's a plan that's going to just benefit you, you're the primary beneficiary of it, more than likely it's your own plan, by the way. I'm just saying. Okay? And you know, if that's your plan, you may find success in that, but you're cheating yourself out of what God truly has for you. He has so much more than a bigger paycheck for you. So much more than that. He has so much more than success in the eyes of the world. He has so much more than perceived happiness because you got the bigger house. So much more than all of that. Danger number two. Self-sufficiency is failure to recognize the uncertainty of life. Now we're in verse 14. It's failure to recognize the uncertainty of life. James says, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're just a mist, a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. When we live self-sufficient lives, we end up having our eyes fixed on our own long-term plans, on our own pot of gold. So we have our own plans, and this is where I'm going, and this is where I'm headed. And so our eyes are fixed on that place. They're fixed on that destination that we've come up with that we call success. And so we go after that thing. And our eyes are so fixed on where we're going, so fixed on that future that we have put out there, that we blow right by everything that God has for us today. All the blessings, all the moves of God, the miracles that God has for us every single day, we end up blowing right by it because we're looking so far into the future, and that future is one that we've created ourselves. We miss the blessings of today because we're looking out into the future that we've created. Look, God has people for us to serve today. He has people for us to bless today. He's called us to gather together in prayer today. He's called us to be the royal priesthood today. Intercessors, people of God, doing the work of God. He's called us to bring His kingdom today. He's called us to love other people today. He's called us to minister to people, to bless people, to pray for people, to expect miracles today. He's called us to do all of that today, right now. But I'm telling you, and I'm guilty of this. This happens when we get too future-minded, and James is warning us of that. Especially when the future is one that we've created. We miss what God has for us today. He's called us to bring His kingdom today. So what happens is we push aside His kingdom coming today in our lives in exchange for some nebulous goal that we have set in the future. Some timeline that we have created. I mean, how often do you hear people saying this? You know what? After I get enough money in my bank account, after I get that raise, then I'm going to do those things that I feel like God's put on my heart. You know, after the kids are grown up and they're out of the house, then I'm going to go do that ministry and I'm going to go volunteer here or do this or that. Or, you know what, after retirement, and when my career's done and I've reached that goal and I've got that all taken care of, my retirement account's filled up, all of that, then I'm ready. Then I'm going to do that thing that God put on my heart 10 years ago. Well, God put that on your heart 10 years ago. Or did God put that on your heart today? Why aren't we walking out in that today when He puts it on our heart today? Did He tell you to wait until you're retired? If He did, wait until you're retired. But if He didn't tell you to wait until you're retired, do it today. Do what God has called you to do today. We're not promised tomorrow. How many people have put the very things that God has called them to do aside, waiting for tomorrow when they are planning to do it, and they never make it to tomorrow? We're supposed to do God's work today. Look, we're not promised tomorrow. I have a friend, his name is John. Some of you are aware of this. You got the prayer request. His name is John, and he had a stroke earlier this week. He's about my age, give or take a year or two. In his 40s. He had a stroke. Everything can change like that. He has a wife and little kids. A job, a career with a big company over in San Diego area. Very successful. He knows the Lord. He loves God. Praise the Lord for that. And he's doing much better. Still needs prayer. He still needs recovery. There's still some slurring. There's still some issues that are happening. But I'm telling you what, everything can change like that. We're not promised tomorrow. Has God given you a voice and an ability to speak into people's lives and to declare His gospel and His goodness to others? He's given you a voice today. You're not promised that you will have that voice tomorrow or that opportunity tomorrow. One of the dangers of self-sufficiency is that it's failure to recognize the uncertainty of life. We're not promised tomorrow, but we have today. We have today. We have right now. We're promised that God's grace is also sufficient for us today to do the work that He's called us to do today. And so you can do it. If you think, oh, I can't. I've got all these other things on my plate. I know He's calling me to do this. He's put this burden on my heart. But I've just got so many other things going on. Do you believe that God's grace is enough? Do you believe that He's given you all you need for life and godliness? If you do, step out in the things that God has called you to do. Don't wait. Danger number three of self-sufficiency. Danger number three is that self-sufficiency is failure to acknowledge God. We find that in verse 15. It's failure to acknowledge God. Instead, James says, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Again, the message of the world and of this age is believe in yourself, isn't it? It sounds so good. Oh, believe in yourself. You need to believe it. Trust in yourself. You can do it. Have faith in you. Have faith in you. No. I'm sorry. Sounds great. But it's wrong. It'll blow up. It's wrong. There is the wisdom of man, and it's a failure to acknowledge our complete and utter dependence on God. I don't have faith in myself. I live that life, okay? I live that life of trusting myself, believing that I could do anything and make it all happen and make everything good. No, it doesn't work that way. I'm not God, but God is God, and I have faith in Him, and I trust in Him, and I know that His grace is enough. He gives me all I need. He's not going to call me to anything that He's not going to equip me for and give me the resources for. I can trust Him. He's not going to leave me hanging. I'll leave myself hanging, but God will not leave me hanging. And James is pleading with us here. He's saying, come into agreement with God's will and with His plan for your life. And acknowledge Him. Jesus said it this way when He prayed. He said, Heavenly Father, not my will, but yours be done. This is the Son of God. This is Jesus Christ, the man who had not sinned one time. And he's still crying out, reminding himself, speaking it out. Not my will, no, but my Heavenly Father's, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Danger number four. Self-sufficiency is boasting. Find that in verse 16. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. See, when we live self-sufficient lives, how do we end up responding when good things happen? When perceived good things happen? We end up saying things like, I did this, I did that. I'm a man, yeah. We try to act humble, yeah. It was hard, but yeah, I made it through. I did it, yeah. And that's pride, right? But when we're self-sufficient and we're making our own plans, and then our own plans, there's a little bit of success, what do? We take the credit. We have to take the credit because it's our plan and it's our effort. And so we begin to boast. And that's prideful. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit, another word for haughty is boastful, which is the word that James used. In verse 16, a boastful spirit comes before a fall. Don't you hate that? When you get prideful and boastful and you start talking like I'm the man, then all of a sudden, man, everything falls out from underneath you. And you know, every once in a while I get a little caught up on the basketball court and I start getting a little, you know, little talk going and stuff. And as soon as that happens, I end up just blowing it. And I end up embarrassing myself, and it's just the Lord bringing me back down and reminding me, you know what, Eric, even on the basketball court, you got to watch that stuff. Come on now. But when we get boastful and prideful, that's just a sign that it's about to fall apart. And that pride and that boastful comes often in the life of somebody who's embracing self-sufficiency. Are the wheels falling off your life? You feeling like things are kind of falling apart, like things are, like maybe you only are running on three wheels and the fourth one's not there, you know, and you're a little wobbly and things aren't quite holding together and you're about ready to just crash and burn. Just examine things. Whose plans are you following right now? You might want to take a look. I'm not saying that if we're following God's plans that nothing bad ever happens to us and it's never difficult. It's life is difficult. We live in a broken world. Look at the apostles' lives who were doing the work of God, who were bringing His kingdom. I mean, their lives were difficult. All but one of the disciples and those apostles ended up dying a martyr's death. I mean, life was still hard for them. So I'm not saying that if anything's hard in your life and you're feeling like, oh, that you know, you're not living God's plan. But I think it is a good opportunity that if things are shaky in your life and you feel like, oh my goodness, I got too many balls up in the air and what's going on, maybe you need to step back and go, well, where are those areas that are my plans and not God's plans? And maybe if I just allow those balls to drop and disappear, that maybe I won't feel that chaos anymore in my life. God doesn't have us living a life of chaos. He came to bring peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And even when life can be difficult for a believer who's doing the will of God, even in the time of that difficulty, it can still be peaceful. So if you feel like your life is chaotic and crazy and out of order, I just want to encourage you just to look. And are there areas of your life that are your own plans, your own things? Maybe if you let go of those, come into agreement with God's will on that, you'll find things smoothing out just a little bit. Finally, James reveals danger number 5. Danger number 5 is self-sufficiency is actually sin. It's that wonderful three-letter word. It's sin. It's not just a less-than way of living. It's actually sin. Verse 17, James concludes and says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. In other words, anybody who knows that he ought to come into agreement with God's will and follow God's plan instead of making their own plan, instead of following your own plans and doing it your own way, anybody who knows that they should be doing it God's way but then doesn't is living in sin. I know that doesn't, it's not like one of the big sins that you read about, like, oh, they're so easy to spot. But when we take the reins and we do it our way, rather than waiting on the Lord, listening for Him, and then coming into agreement with His plan, when we do that, it can be subtle, we actually end up falling in sin. We're sinning against God. Just like any other sin that's against His way of things. Just taking the reins and making our own plans and our own future is sin. When we take control, when we walk in self-sufficiency instead of following God's plans, we do sin. I think of King Saul. He didn't want to wait on Samuel to come. He didn't want to wait on God's way of the anointing and the prayer before going to battle. And so he took it into his own hands. He rationalized it of why he should take control now and not wait on God and do it God's way. And so he took it in his own hands. He did the prayer and the blessing and everything. They went out to war and it didn't go well. And we look at God's word and it's very clear that God's word says that Saul was in sin. He was in sin when he did that, and the anointing of the Lord was lifted off of him. And he was taken out of that place of leadership that God had put him in. Why? Because of self-sufficiency. So how do we give God the reins? As I conclude, I'm going to go through these last points quite quickly. They're going to be on the screen so you can take notes if you'd like to. They're also on our YouVersion notes online. How do we give God the reins? How do we avoid self-sufficiency? How do we steer clear of this sin? And how do we follow God's plans for our lives? How do we be God-sufficient instead of self-sufficient? There's some biblical ways of doing that. I'm just going to hit each point quickly. One of the things that we must do is we must wait upon the Lord. We were singing earlier, you know, that we're going to lift our eyes to the hills where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We've got to turn our eyes to God first and foremost, and then we've got to wait on Him. Wait on Him. We live in a society that doesn't like to wait, and so we end up making our own plans, going our own way, and look at our society. It's crazy. It's out of control. It's a mess. Because we won't look to the Lord and then wait on Him. We got to wait on the Lord. Saul didn't wait, didn't go good for him. We're going to be people who wait on the Lord so that we can hear His heart, get His mind, and then move forward. We need to listen to His voice. How do we listen to the voice of God? There's two amazing ways that God's given us. Number one, it's the Word of God. The Bible. Do you want to know God's heart? Read the Word of God. Do you want to hear His voice? Read the Word of God. And if you have to hear it audibly, read it out loud to yourself so you can hear it in your ear, right? It's the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Lord. Read the Bible. And pray. And pray. And then be quiet and let Him answer you. Don't talk over God. And don't just quickly walk away. Oh God, I need to hear Your voice. I need to hear Your voice. And now I got to go get busy with my day. Cry out to God. Ask to hear His voice and sit and listen. Maybe an hour later. Maybe an hour. Have you waited an hour quietly for the Lord to respond? We need to listen to His voice. Joshua didn't listen to His voice, did he? He didn't inquire of the Lord. He just went on with things. Made a bad decision. Now we also, number three, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. We talked about that last week. We got to humble ourselves before the Lord. Last week, James was telling us that God gives us more grace. He will give us more grace. He'll give us more direction, more understanding, more wisdom, more grace, more of Him. He will give us more. And as James said, to those who humble themselves. And last week we learned from James that two ways that we humble ourselves are that we submit to God, put ourselves under submission to Him, and then we resist the devil. So, we humble ourselves before the Lord and we will get more grace. We'll get more understanding. We'll get direction. And the fourth thing is we must allow ourselves to be Spirit-led people. We've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to read Romans 8. There's definitely a difference between being led by the flesh and being led by the Spirit. It's not just some kind of thing that we throw out on Sundays. It's not just church talk. It's not just church talk, being led by the Spirit. And it's not some kind of thing that's unknowable. I mean, we can know that we're being led by the Holy Spirit. We can put ourselves in a place where we allow the living God to lead us and to guide us instead of our flesh and instead of our own understanding. We can be led by the Holy Spirit. We must be Spirit-led people. We've got to be those who God's called us to be. And, you know, some of the stuff we know, we got to love God and love people, serve others, help the widows and the orphans. Freely show grace and mercy. Forgive one another. These are all things that we can do. We've got to remember also then that God is our lighthouse. And He's the one who directs our course. You know, you may be a battleship. And there are some battleships in this room. It's not bad being a battleship. You may have that kind of personality, man, and that kind of life and the kind of skills God's deposited so much in you that you can get it done. I mean, you can plow through life. You can make things happen. You can move things. You can conquer things. You can get it done. And there's a lot of get or done kind of people in here. Being a battleship is not wrong. It's good. But we've got to remember that we're not the lighthouse, the one that's immovable. And so we've got to submit to the Lord, even though in our flesh, we could just get her done for a season. No, no, no. Don't do that. Don't fall into that trap of saying, you know what? I just got to get it done. I'm just going to make this happen. I'm just going to make the decision. I don't have time to wait on God on this right now. And I know He's given me enough just to get it done. No, don't do that. Don't fall into that. Being a battleship is a good thing, but just be careful of self-sufficiency. I want to just end with a few scriptures. I'm going to close it up here. Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And Proverbs 19:21 tells us that many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Do we want to prevail? Come into agreement with the Lord's purposes and His plans for our lives. And then finally, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make your paths straight. That's a promise from God, from our lighthouse. Acknowledge Him. Trust in Him. In everything. Love Him. And He will make your paths straight.